Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Authorities in Southwest Washington State ordered evacuations for thousands of homes as wildfires rapidly grew on Sunday. There's an unusual high number of wildfires burning in the Pacific Northwest, Intermountain West, and Canada. Sharon Sturetti is with the Washington Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, it has stepped up. I believe right now we have 110 people on it. I don't know if you've also known we've had several other starts in the area, fire starts, and we're using our resources here. We've got some airplanes on it. As you can see, it's smoky, hard to see, so sometimes getting aircraft up in those conditions is very difficult.
The next level of internet connections rolls out next month in select cities. Google Fiber is launching 5 gig and 8 gig plans early next year. Both tiers will come with Wi-Fi 6 router and two mesh extenders. The 5 gig tier will cost about $125 per month, while the 8 gig tier will cost about $150 a month. Google Fiber customers in Utah, Kansas City, and West Des Moines, Iowa will be able to try out the new tiers as early as next month. Kyiv City Mayor Vitaly Klitschko is reporting numerous explosives-filled drones struck Ukraine's capital on Monday morning as things got underway. The blast echoed across Kyiv, setting buildings on fire and sending people running to shelters. There was no immediate word of casualties. Russian strikes over the past week have hit infrastructure, including power facilities and residential areas. China's National Bureau of Statistics released their third quarter gross domestic product numbers. The report indicated China's economy expanded to a 0.4% annual rate in the second quarter, its weakest growth in more than 2 years. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis plans to resume flights of illegal immigrants to Democrat-run cities after cleanup from Hurricane Ian is finished. No other information was given by DeSantis' communications director from Saturday's email. As reported last week, two major grocery store chains plan to merge. Tony Maruso has more.
Kroger announced Friday that it plans to buy Albertsons in a nearly $25 billion deal that could change the U.S. retail industry and impact how millions of customers buy their groceries. The deal, which is expected to close in 2024, would combine two of the largest supermarket chains in the country and create one of its largest private employers. The two companies have a combined 710,000 workers, most of them unionized in an industry with low union rates, nearly 5,000 stores, and more than $200 billion in sales. From the Gulf Coast Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
U.S. tech giant Apple Incorporated has announced it put on hold plans to buy memory chips from China in its products after Washington State imposed tighter export controls against Chinese technology companies. The chips were initially planned to be used in only iPhones sold in the Chinese market. Nikkei's report on Monday said Apple planned purchasing on 40% of the chips needed for all iPhones from China. No word yet on where an alternative source will come from. My name is Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com is where you want to go. Joshua Phillip is with us, an award-winning investigative reporter with Epoch Times and host of Epoch TV's Crossroads program, a recognized expert on unrestricted warfare, asymmetrical hybrid warfare, subversion, and historical perspectives on today's issues. Joshua, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, real pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on the real story of January 6th. What a service you have done, certainly for our listeners and others who are interested in the whole truth and nothing but regarding January the 6th.
Well, someone had to do it. I mean, you know, one thing we were having was a lot of new evidence come in that I think the public had not seen. And so, you know, the original idea of the documentary was just to basically take this video evidence and put it in one place so people could go watch it. But as that process developed, of course, we came across more and more information and then realized we had a much bigger story in our hands. So we did something, I think, more complete, really making an effort to show the whole story, what happened that day.
It's kind of like if you build it, they'll come, right? I mean, you know, now all of a sudden there's a canvas in which you can utilize to use different colors and to paint with, and you've afforded the audience that opportunity, because everything about January the 6th clearly has been a one-sided affair and one-sided narrative, and especially when you hear that there's something like 14, I've heard now the revised version, 16,000 hours of video that we have not seen. It's like, wait, what's going on here? And then you watch what the January 6th committee hearing is doing, and you realize that we're being gamed in this whole process. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, does it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the ideas is this. The big problem we have when it comes to understanding January 6th is, well, I think most conservatives at this point, you know, and maybe some on the left too, understand that pretty much the thing looks very suspicious. A lot of them have not seen strong enough evidence to really, I think, show them what really happened that day. And as you mentioned too, if you were to sit down and watch the evidence that's available, like if you were to go to like the court system and just watch it all, it would take you about 3 years. And a lot of lawyers I've spoken to, they say that the evidence they're being given by the Department of Justice is a tsunami of lies, like it's a tsunami of garbage,
wow,
how they frame it.
Right.
Because they're not giving them the real exculpatory evidence, and the key evidence that would be exculpatory that proves the innocence of the people they're defending. It oftentimes has key stuff omitted. For example, the audio might be omitted where the individual is saying, hey, I'm here to help you, I'm here to help you, and things like that.
Exactly.
So, as you mentioned, there's a lot of footage that people have not been shown. And even worse than that, even those who do have it, you can't post it on YouTube. You can't post it online without risking getting your channel deleted. So there's like a... a big black box out there, and I think people need to be able to access it.
Joshua, as you were putting this and the team was putting this together, and knowing how anything you say about Jen, just like you just said, you're going to get canceled in an instant, all this other stuff. I mean, as everybody is going through this and assembling all this information, I mean, did it kind of make you nervous with, you know, you got one side, as some experts have said, you know, you got the tsunami of lies that have been out there and this narrative that's already formed, and you're pulling the thread of truth on all this, and you're thinking, oh, my God, what is going on here? I mean, I can only imagine what must have gone through your mind as you are, you know, you're starting to go into, you know, this evidence that people aren't hearing about. And you're going, oh, okay, now this is starting to make sense.
A bit. So two sides with it. On the censorship front, they've already censored me enough on, like, YouTube and so on that they can't do a whole lot more to me. I'm lucky in that we have our own platform. We have Epic TV, Epoch TV, which they can't censor that. The other side.
All right. No, wait. Hang on a second. Let me interrupt you for just a second, okay? Because this is what happens sometimes. Some people say Epoch, others say Epic. Is it Epic, Epoch, Tomato, Tomato? What, clear it up for us. What is it supposed to be?
So the technical American pronunciation is Epic, but if you want to speak the Queen's English, you want to sound fancy, Commonwealth country, Epoch. But sometimes we say Epoch just for the sake of people typing it right.
Yeah, just because you happen to be afternoon high tea, and so you got to say Epoch. I get it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. A little sidebar, because now that really clears it up, and why, you know, because I've had even a couple of friends. I go, I know, I hear that. I go. You know, it's Epic Times. No, it's Epoch and, you know, whatever. And so, okay, all right. Now we can go to sleep at night, and there's peace in the Middle East. All right, let's pick it up there. Sorry for the sidebar. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, so one side of it is the idea that they could cancel me online, and they've already canceled me enough that I don't really care too much at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? The other side of it, though, is like, you know, political persecution or actual threats, because you are dealing with people who, I mean, I don't like to think like this, but it does appear that our justice system is becoming politicized in the United States.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think this is becoming just a real part of the normal political discussion. And so there's also that concern. And so, you know, as I went about it, though, I just made sure that everything could hold up in court. We don't step out, you know, the documentary we did, The Real Story of January 6th, we don't step outside of anything that cannot be proven. And so we do approach it with a good deal of caution, although I do think that based on the evidence we have, we're still able to be probably stronger than anybody has been like this on a documentary yet, because we have very good evidence.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you addressed the Ashley Babbitt shooting, which heretofore barely want to touch on it. It's just, you know, here you've got a former Air Force veteran going through a window. I mean, just on the face, as you consider, I mean, here's a Capitol Police officer who, first of all, his identity was hidden. They didn't want to talk about it. But regardless of that, you've got a police officer sending around downrange into a crowd. What did you think was going to happen? I mean, and that bullet even went by other Capitol Police officers. And then afterwards, when we finally find out who this Capitol Police officer was that fired the round, he is heralded as some sort of hero. And this just doesn't, for anybody, I mean, anybody that's involved in exercising their Second Amendment right, that have their own concealed carry license, they know on its face this is a bad shoot.
Yeah, and we show some interesting evidence on that as well, including evidence that there was a second gunman, although it's not clear whether the individual fired his firearm. But it's weird behavior. You can see it in the video footage. Then an officer behind Officer Byrd, Lieutenant Byrd, pulls out his pistol, and it looks like, based on the footage, it looks like he covers the grip of his pistol with a handkerchief. And I've asked officers, like, why you would do that. They're like, well, you'd do that if you were committing a crime and it didn't want your fingerprint there. But I don't know what the guy's intention was, but it was strange behavior. But as you mentioned, too, like there were a lot of gaps with that. In fact, we brought on Stan Kephart as an analyst. And Stan Kephart, he's like...
Okay, I'll tell you what. I want to talk about Stan. This is really brilliant stuff in having him on. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Joshua after this. Stay with us.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of Trustlink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Too often, we don't know what we don't know. Hi, this is Bill Martinez, man of God, nationally syndicated radio host, former Marine, and award-winning marketing professional. It reminds me of when, as a new Marine Corps recruit, 87 of us were picked up at a Greyhound bus station in San Diego to be taken to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, California. Some of the new recruits were acting up and a bit animated as if we were headed to an amusement park. And I noticed two Marine escorts in front of the bus looking back at the chaos, shaking their heads with a slight smirk. And it was then that I wondered, okay, what do they know that we don't know? Well, 20 minutes later, we found out what they knew as we were greeted by several drill instructors yelling at us in all kinds of language. Get off the bus, get on the bus, get back on the bus, get off the bus, and then stand in the yellow footprints. Well, today, as we're confronted with the unknown, we can have some encouragement to know that eventually we will know, and it's then that our character is refined and we realize that knowledge is power and must precede the right action. We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Joshua Phillip is with us. He is the investigative reporter. He narrated the real story of January the 6th that you can see at Epic Times. The link there, Joshua, how can people pull up the real story of January 6th?
They can go to epochtv.com, EPOCHTV.com.
Okay. Before the break, we start. You brought up Stan Kefford. And this was stuff, I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, he's a use of force expert. And what he brought to the narrative here, or to the report, was quite revealing.
Well, you know, Stan, yeah, I mean, he's, if you look at court databases, he's the number one guy that courts will call in to testify on police use of force. And, you know, as we did this documentary, that was kind of one of the ideas. We wanted to have something strong enough that it could actually stand up in court if anybody wanted to use it legally, or if we had ourselves had to try to defend legally, you know, putting this whole thing together. Stan Kefart assesses a lot of things, one of them being the shooting and killing of Ashley Babbitt by Officer Byrd. He calls it a murder. He says, I mean, Officer Byrd should face criminal charges and should stand in front of a jury for murder. And, you know, not only the killing of Ashley Babbitt we show, but we also show the death of the three other individuals that day. Four individuals died total. I know people say five or six. It's absolute lies. Yeah. Five people did not die. Six people did not die. Four people died. All of them were protesters. No officer died that day. But we have evidence suggesting that the other three people who died, in addition to Ashley Babbitt, may have been killed either as a direct result or as a contributing factor from violations of use of force by the police that day.
Yeah, it's when Stan Kefart addresses use of force, I mean, it makes you wonder how maltrained the Capitol Police and the D.C. police were in handling situations like this. I mean, it was like they panicked. There was nothing by the book, it seems like, you know, firing explosives, you know, into the air, as he said. It wasn't about, you know, about dispersing the crowd. It was about punishing the crowd. I mean, they already, I mean, this is a pretty scary thought. When you have that kind of power and lethal force in the hands of law enforcement to disdain, you know, any kind of rule of law and the proper use of force. I mean, these are things that police officers are trained constantly under. This is why some police are in jail, is because they violated use of force. And here it is on full display on this January 6th riot, if you want to call it that. And they're just getting away with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, generally, I'm very supportive of police, but that doesn't mean that I believe they can just violate the law. You know, I think
exactly.
Most officers are very good on that. I don't think this is by any means like a broader, despite how it's been framed, I don't believe it's that broad of an issue as people have made it out to be. But the officers on January 6th, D.C. Metro.
But if you ignore it, the only problem is, though, Joshua, if you ignore it, it can be. You know, this is something, when it raises its ugly head, you've got to lop it off quick. You've got to really, you know, you have got to be forceful in holding the line. It's unacceptable. And here it is, because of political reasons, you're ameliorating this thing and you're trying to justify it. So guess what? The people out in the streets get it and they get ticked, and then they lose respect for law and order. And now they're going in and they're thinking, okay, so what? I mean, they're shooting us, we're going to shoot them. I mean, that's absurd and that's scary. And that's civil disorder at a level that is, it shouldn't be recognizable in this country, but we're starting to see glimpses of it.
And I'd argue that's kind of what happened on January 6th. The police were flagrantly violating the law. Violating the law like it didn't exist. They were violating use of force left and right. They were agitating the crowd left and right. They were not doing their normal job of trying to disperse or arrest the crowd. Which could even constitute entrapment on that note, given how aggressively they were just using munitions and, you know, basically beating people and harming people in terrible ways. Even we have video footage of this officer who, like, almost like that movie 300 where the Spartans just kick this guy into a pit.
Right.
An officer pushes a guy 20 feet off a wall and the guy's carried off on a stretcher. I mean, horrible stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and look at, you know, the one gal that got trampled.
That'd be Roseanne Boylan. Yeah.
Roseanne Boylan. Yeah, exactly. So, this is all heartbreaking stuff. But really, what comes to mind again regarding the political sentiment here? I mean, you are in D.C. Let's face it, about 95% of the population is liberal. They're pro Democrat. They don't get this conservative expression. So,
yeah.
Of the police force, of the D.C. police, and that my question would be, how many of them are, just in a general sense, how many of them are anti-conservatism to such a degree? And we know this, that this kind of mindset can happen. It happens in the military all the time. The reason that you go after people is you dehumanize them, and then it doesn't matter if you kill them. I mean, this happens in war all the time. And so, you know, I guess what you're saying and what I've seen from the documentary here is the dehumanization of conservatism and conservatives. And so it's like, okay, and here it is. And when it gets to this point, you've got exactly the response that we saw on January the 6th. Is that fair?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what happened. And if you look at the, I think, again, flagrant use of violence, the really unjustified uses of force, and frankly, crimes committed by D.C. Metro and Capitol Police, yeah, you can see that in practice. Absolutely.
And Joshua, what about the political prisoners? I mean, you've got people been in jail for over a year, and how many in solitary confinement? People have no concept of this. I mean, I was talking to Paul Manafort, and he was talking about how he was being held in solitary confinement. I said, Paul, you know, I'm claustrophobic. It would be the end of my mind to be in solitary confinement in that kind of situation. He goes, yeah, I am too. And it does take you to the end of yourself. I said, wow. And here you got these young people. Go ahead.
This needs to be investigated as a human rights abuse, frankly. I've been reading Rape of the Mind by Merleau, and also some older books on menticide, which is the killing of the mind. And you can look at how documented cases on how communist systems in the past and the Nazis used methods almost to the T, exactly like what's happening to these January 6th prisoners, with the intent of making them admit to crimes they did not commit so they can frame political narratives and then use that politically. This is almost to the T a repeat of what happened with the Nazis in the burning of the Reichstag building. Which, again, they framed the Dutchmen for that, even though the Nazis themselves had done it, and then got the man to admit to a crime he didn't commit by torturing him in very similar ways to these January 6th protesters, torturing them mentally. This is menticide, the torturing and killing of the mind, to make them, again, admit to crimes they didn't commit. And you see people saying they admitted to crimes they didn't commit already.
Exactly. Well, case in point, Matt Perna, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and killed himself, of course, because he was facing, 20 years, I think, was going to get 7 years in prison, something like that.
Yeah, typical stuff that happens with law enforcement that you hear about. I mean, we've had others, you know, Jerome Corsi that I've spoken with, and, you know, the threats that they put on him, what they did to, you know, General Flynn, and attacking his son. They were going to go after his son. I mean, all this stuff, it is out of control. We've got about 50 seconds left here, Joshua. And, just summarize the documentary for people, remind them where they can go and link up and see it for themselves. You guys did a great job, by the way. Congratulations on it.
Yeah, so the documentary is The Real Story of January 6th, and you can find it on Epoch TV, EPOCHTV.com. And, yeah, we aim to give people the evidence they need to fully understand what took place that day and the laws that were violated.
I'll tell you, this is where your time can be used more valuably as opposed to watching the January 6th committee hearing. You've got to see this documentary for yourself. Joshua Phillip, award-winning investigative reporter with Epoch Times. Thank you, Joshua. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Buying hearing aids at clinics costs about $5,000 on average. That's expensive. What if I told you, you may qualify to get a pair of some of the most state-of-the-art hearing aids in the world at little to no out-of-pocket cost? You heard me right. Your Medicare Advantage plan may qualify you to get a pair of new hearing aids at little to no out-of-pocket cost. And if you're a federal employee, your insurance may also cover these amazing hearing aids. Hear what you're missing. Call us today and find out what your insurance will cover. So if you have a Medicare Advantage plan or you're a federal employee, make this free call now and learn how to get a pair of hearing aids at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call MD Hearing right now.
Call now. We're here to help you. 800-470-1825. 800-470-1825. 800-470-1825. That's 800-470-1825.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Russia hit Ukraine with a wave of Iranian-made kamikaze drones on the capital, Kyiv. The strikes hit critical infrastructure in three regions, cutting off electricity in hundreds of villages across the country, according to their prime minister. Authorities in southwest Washington ordered evacuations for thousands of homes as wind-driven wildfires rapidly grew on Sunday. There's wildfires burning in the Pacific Northwest, Intermountain West, and Canada. In all, 24 large fires were burning in Idaho, 22 in Montana, 13 in Washington, and 5 in Oregon. The next level of internet connections rolls out next month in select cities. Google Fiber is launching 5 gig and 8 gig plans early next year. Google Fiber customers in Utah, Kansas City, and West Des Moines, Iowa will be able to try out the new tiers as early as next month. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Bill Martinez with you, and understandably, crime continues to rise increasingly. America, just across the country, is concerned. And if you aren't already, you are learning quick about situational awareness, about keeping your head on a swivel. And there are some of us who are just designed. God designed us to be sheepdogs. And we're out there keeping an eye out on a swivel, looking out. But the fact of the matter is that we need to understand the times and adjust our lifestyles accordingly. You cannot go walking down the street with your head in your cell phone and just leave yourself unaware and vulnerable. Because unfortunately, we live in a world, we live in a country today where danger abounds. With us to talk more about it is the retired colonel from the United States Air Force, Brian Searcy. Brian, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Bill, thanks for having me, and I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, what you have to share with us is so important, Colonel, because, as I said, people need to become more situationally aware. And it's amazing, you know, in fact, a friend of mine brought this up years and years ago, and I started observing how many people were not situationally aware, and especially the kids with, you know, their noses stuck, not even in a book, but stuck into these handheld devices that distract them and keep them unaware.
Well, absolutely, and that's actually been brought on because parents today do the same thing. So that's the lesson that they teach their kids. And for 30 or 40 years, this is the problem of people not having situational awareness has been expanding. And we're at a point in society today where less than 1 in 7 people know what situational awareness is, even though it's a God-given gift that we all have. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is, instead of complaining about it, talking about it, we need to empower people to become their own first responder by reinstilling and reinvigorating the learning of situational awareness, habits, behaviors, and a mindset so that we can prevent bad things from happening. That's the number one goal that I focus on, is empowering parents to learn this skill so they can communicate and allow their kids to learn this skill so they don't do the things that set themselves up to be victims, that they are empowered to care about their family and their community, to when they see something that makes that hair on the back of the neck or that gut feeling that something isn't right, that they not only recognize that, but they're empowered to do something about it. And then we work together as communities to make our communities more safe.
And Colonel, as you said, as a reminder to the audience, this is instinctual. This is God-given. So it's not so much a learning as it is, as much as it is a a reconnection. How would you state that? I mean, we just need to reconnect with our natural resources, don't we?
Right. So we need to educate them that they have this God-given gift. But then at the broadest group, we have a process that we instill with them. So we empower the 90-day rule, which says it takes 90 days to create a new behavior. So over that 90 days, they learn the habits, the behaviors, and the mindset surrounding situation awareness. They're educated and aware of what the threats are, and that's how we keep them from being victims.
Yeah. Yeah, because we see on television every night, people are caught off guard. They come from behind. They're, you know, taking a roundhouse slug to the head. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, people thrown, you know, pushed over the side of the tracks in the subways, things that are happening in the subways in New York. This is just incredible. And we just have to reassess and understand where we live in today. It's not the America that you and I grew up in.
No, it's not the America that you and I grew up in. Like I said, it's taken us about 30 or 40 years to get to this point where, you know, we have politicians and people that say this is what we need to do to try and solve this problem, yet they are doing what we've been doing for 30 or 40 years, which is Einstein's definition of insanity, and talking about just addressing the symptoms and not actually addressing the problem. And that problem is to empower people to be their own first responder and empower them to take back the responsibility for the safety of our communities. And it can't be done overnight. This is going to take 5, 6, 7 years. We're going to have to educate the parents so the parents can educate the kids, so that hopefully 10 years from now, that less than 1 in 7 that actually practice situation awareness changes to 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 7. So that's how we're going to bring our country back.
Right. Colonel, explain to the audience what small steps have to be taken. I mean, first of all, we can't be walking around with an open invitation. You know, it's kind of like when your kid's going around, you kind of mess around with your buddies and you put a sign on their back, kick me, and, you know, kind of just to make fun. But it was a silly, terrible joke. But nonetheless, in a sense, what we've done today by not being situationally aware, we're inviting crime, you know, to come into our, into our immediate areas, and we're getting attacked. So just by raising awareness and being more situationally aware, we start heading down that right track to discourage somebody, you know, to the point that if we're more situationally aware, and not only of ourselves but of others, then this will begin to make an impact and dissuade those perpetrators, will it not?
Bill, you just hit the nail on the head. You know, preparation overcomes fear, and the predators that are out there are looking for the easy mark first. And unfortunately, there's no shortage of people that are portrayed to be an easy victim because they don't have situational awareness. So that's the first step. The individual needs to take that responsibility so they don't come off and portray themselves to the predator as a victim. And then the second part that you rolled in as well, one of the 10 critical skills that we teach in our program is to reinstill empathy in the people in our communities. So when people learn and develop situational awareness, habits, behaviors, and a mindset, and then they're prepared to be their own first responder, but because of the empathy they also develop, they care about their community. They want to make sure their community is safe when they see potential bad things are potentially going to happen. Then they intervene, and they thought about what they would do if they're, you know, you talked about being a sheepdog. I'm a sheepdog myself. I run to the gunfire. But there's a lot of people that aren't prepared to do that. They don't have the skills to do that. Right. They don't have the ability to do that. But there is something they can do. They can yell. They can get other people involved. They can get out their phone and dial 911. There's a lot of things that people can do to help keep our communities safe, to help keep all of us safe. But they need to learn this and develop this skill, figure out what they're capable of doing, then be empowered to make a decision and then actually act on it.
Yeah, we have to want
to keep our community safe, don't we? I mean, for some reason, it's like, I don't know if we've just gotten stunned by the increase in crime, the fact that the law enforcement, you know, professionals have kind of backed off and, you know, they're sending a message out there that doesn't matter. And then they think, okay, does that mean I have to get a gun, that I got to go be an enforcer, that I have to do these sort of things? And, you know, and look, and this is the thing that, to me, it starts creating, you know, some bad avenues. But, you know, without preparation, without doing some of the things before it gets to that point, because it's almost like if something doesn't give here, Colonel, I'm afraid you're going to have chaos on the streets. And we've got, you know, we've got TV series like The Enforcer and vigilanteism that's kind of being promoted. And you're thinking, boy, I'm not sure that's the kind of message we want right now, because then at that point, law and order starts to go out the window here.
I love a quote by Bruce Lee where he said people would question him, why do you consistently train in martial arts so that you can do what it is that you do? And he said, I would much rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And what we know what we know is a true fact is that when you learn and develop situation awareness, you learn what you're capable of doing, whether that is, like I said, somebody that's going to protect their own kids, or it's somebody like you and I that's a sheepdog that is going to run to the gunfire. That's what empowers us to do those things. But we are the people that are much more controlled. That's the last thing that we want to do. But we're prepared to do it if we have to. You talked about, you know, preparation. Going back to the quote by Bruce Lee, you will only be able to do what it is that you've thought of doing and you've practiced doing. If you haven't thought about how you would respond to a situation, if you haven't practiced it, then if you ever get in a situation like that, you will not be able to do anything. So that's where the difference comes in, that when people take the time to learn and develop this critical skill and then know how to act on it, they become much less fearful, much more prepared to keep their family and their community safe. And I would argue that will also help get rid of the divisiveness in our country. Mm-hmm. The 10 critical personal skills that we teach empower people to have those conversations that, like you said, that we don't have anymore. A recent study came out that 92% of people that don't have well-developed critical personal skills are much more likely to resolve disputes with anger and violence because they don't know how to have that conversation. So again, instead of complaining about the problem.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. And our conversation with Colonel Brian Searcy continues. The Colonel is an international best-selling author, a keynote speaker, a situational awareness expert. This is what we're talking about. Brian, you know, again, where we are in this country and with a mindset, we need this message. Because every night we look on TV, we see people getting cold cocked, we see people placed in danger, and they just walk in areas that they should have known better. But because they've been preconditioned previously, as you stated, they find themselves in conditions that, you know, it's too late. I mean, they're already in jeopardy. But we need to make a concerted effort to do something about it, because this is what the times are calling for right now, are they not?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And the mission of the Paratus Group is not just to make our communities more safe. It's to empower people with the learning of this critical skill and the 10 critical skills so that they then can make a difference in their communities and stop dealing with confrontation with anger and violence, and remember that conversation, understanding perspective, perceptions, being able to actively listen, having conversations, and understanding it's okay if somebody has a different political view. You know, they could still be your best friend, even though they are going to vote for one party and you're going to vote for a different party. But that is a skill and an understanding that has been lost today. But again, to my points that I made earlier, it's taken us years to get to this point, and to think that a politician or our government can somehow solve this problem by addressing the symptoms is, again, Einstein's definition of insanity. We need to have something out there that empowers our families and our kids to learn and develop the necessary skills so we aren't divisive anymore and so that we can be proud of our country. But it's going to take work, it's going to take time, and that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, I guess in part, Colonel, what I see is there has been this concerted effort to dumb down America, and this is a product of our breakdown in our knowledge system and our search for knowledge. Because when you ideologically cancel somebody, you really you render yourself stupid because you're not even taking advantage of the other person's insight.
like it or not, just as you said, in not having that conversation or even being open to it. This is why freedom of the press and freedom of speech was so important by our founding fathers. They understood that this was a bedrock to democracy. It's a bedrock to a civilized nation, a people group that is interested in growing and maturing and being better tomorrow than they were yesterday. But we can't do that if we're canceling people and then we're at each other's throats in such a way to where, okay, what is it going to take? Is it that we're just going to end up punching ourselves out to such a degree that we're arm weary, that we'll finally say, well, enough of this stuff? Or maybe we've just defied gravity so much and so often and so painfully that we realize that the law of gravity still exists and we got to quit being stupid and just, go along, take these things that we know to be true and universal that benefit everybody. And embrace that, just like you talked about before, in terms of being situationally aware and being empathetic, towards one another.
Absolutely. And I am encouraged. We're seeing parents push back against school districts and the things that those school districts have been doing for decades. And that's, again, why the focus of the Paradis Group is to get our programs in the hands of these parents. Give them the necessary tools so that they can think critically, so they can ask those questions, mm-hmm. so that they don't just follow, the message that they get on mainstream media. They ask those tough questions. But even more importantly, then when they learn this skill, then they make sure their kids learn this skill.
Exactly.
So that the kids grow up with the ability to not be divisive, to have conversations, and to be successful. The scary thing today is less than about 92% of the kids coming out of college, they don't have these 10 critical skills developed at all. I talked to a vice president of an HR company three months ago. They're having to instill programs in their business, in the corporation, to allow these kids to learn these skills so the kids can be successful. Because if you don't have these skills as a member of a business or as a leader in a business, that business will not be successful. Managers will fail 100% of the time if they don't have these skills well developed. And the same thing goes for parents. If parents don't have these skills, they will not know how to be a proactive parent to instill what their kids need to be able to grow up and be a great member of this great country.
Brian, how do they connect with the Paradis Group and get involved and start retraining themselves?
Yeah, so the Paradis Group has programs for business schools and churches, and we love to go and talk to PTAs and community groups directly to the parents. And they can get in contact with me by sending me an email at Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, at Paradis.group. And Paradis is spelled P-A-R-A-T-U-S. So it's Brian at Paradis.group.
Paradis.group. Okay, good. And then, of course, the website, if they want to get some more information about the Paradis Group. And the Paradis Group is spelled Paradis, is P-A-R-A-T-U-S, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm sure if you get anywhere close, Google will get you to the right place here. And the website for Paradis Group?
It's just www.paradis.group.
That is the web. Paradis.group is the website.
Yes, sir.
Great.
Excellent. Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't encourage you enough to do this. I mean, especially in light of what we're seeing. The FBI even is saying crime reports show that murder rose over 2020's historic number. So what are we doing in 2022 to reverse this course? I mean, all we're hearing in the news every night, Brian, is that there's more and more crime. We've got open borders right now. We got people coming in that haven't been vetted. We don't know. But I do know this is probably a majority of those that are coming across, these illegal immigrants and migrants who are coming across, are beholden to the cartels. And you know as well as I do, it comes down to a matter of loyalty. And if I don't know that your loyalties are divided and you're beholden to the cartel because the cartel knows where your family lives back in some third world country and they will get to them and do them harm, I understand the compromise here. But we need to also understand, as American citizens, who's coming across the border. Are they, back in the old days when you and I used to watch those spaghetti westerns, it was, are you friend or foe, right?
Absolutely. And there's three key things that I see that are going on with the problem that we have, that because we don't have a southern border, and criminals are coming across that are coming across to do nefarious things. the fentanyl and the drug problems that are growing at an exponential rate and killing our kids in our country, and human trafficking, which already was the second largest criminal enterprise in the United States, is exponentially grown because of the kids that are coming across and then being picked up by these predators and put into our communities. I talked to a leader of a chamber of commerce this morning, and she had just had a presentation by the local police department about how bad the human trafficking situation was in their community in New York. So it's out there.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, people think, well, it's not in my neighborhood. It's not in your neighborhood until it becomes personal. And then, you know, it's too late. Because your daughter or your son has already been captured, and now you are scrambling. And the dark world of human trafficking, you know, Brian, we have no concept of that. We have no understanding of how deep and dark it is.
Absolutely. And people today, because they don't have situational awareness, believe that hope is a strategy, and it won't happen to me, and it won't happen to my community. But Bill, I've talked to parents whose kids have committed suicide or have been human trafficked, and they have guilt, they have anxiety, they have regret because they didn't do more, and they looked back and saw that I saw my kids were struggling. I saw that these things were going on, yet I didn't do anything about it because I didn't take it seriously, and because I didn't take it seriously, you never know if they could have made a change or made a difference or not. But one of the key things that situational awareness, this learning of this skill does is empowers parents to make a decision and actually take action. I had a presentation to a bank yesterday, and the bank president talked about how they have taken time at night where they take their devices away from their kids. They check what their kids are looking at, which every parent needs to do that. Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. He found out when he checked the texts on one of his kids' phones that his kid was being bullied on text messages, and that's the kind of thing that drives our kids to commit suicide or to having anxiety and mental health issues. So he was being proactive. They talked to their son. They made a difference in their son's life, and that's what situation awareness empowers parents to do. That's just one example.
Well, again, let's get back to the basics like you were talking about, and you got to understand, as a parent, what is job one of a parent?
And that actually goes back to this whole problem over the last 30 or 40 years. Parents have given up the responsibility to teach this skill to their kid, thinking that the schools are going to do it. Well, the schools weren't responsible for it, so then those kids grew up and went to college. Colleges are not responsible to teach it, so that's why I gave that example of now businesses are having to educate their new employees with these 10 critical skills and what situational awareness is. Parents need to realize this is their responsibility, and when they learn and develop this skill, they now learn how to parent. Because today what you see, that you have many examples like I do, parents will let their kids do whatever they want, run around restaurants, make a mess of what's going on an airplane, which my wife and I have an experience of recently, until it gets to a point where they no longer want that kid to behave like that because it's getting out of control. Well, by that time, it's too late. Instead of having that situational awareness, identifying that behavior as it's starting, and then knowing what to do about it to change that behavior and instill in our kids the behaviors that they should have and the skills that they should have.
It's kind of a little bit of the broken windows mentality, isn't it, Colonel?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, again, we thank you so much. We got to leave it there. Look forward to having you back, because we got to continue this conversation and keep our audience aware. Colonel Brian Searcy has been with us. Thank you, Brian. Take care.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final